All right. We're going to first pray for the kids to head out. They see a picture of Homer Simpson. They're like, oh, no, I don't want to go. He won't last. Let's pray for the kids as they head out for Sunday school. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Jesus, for this time of songs and praise and just coming before you, Lord, and just giving you just our thanks and adoration. And Lord, we praise you, Father God, for blessing us with these children. Help us as a body embrace them, love them, nurture them. Give us wisdom, give us guidance, Father God, just to do what we can for them to grow to know you in a powerful way in their lives, Jesus. And we thank you for the teachers right now. We pray just bless them and speak through them at this time. And as we here look at your word, Father, as we look at Revelation, I pray you use me despite my extreme weakness in this area. And this be all for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, honesty time. Put your hands up. Thanks, Dan. If you wanted to give me some money. Thanks. Put your hands up. Hello. If when reading Revelation, you get a little bit confused. Okay. Quite a lot of people. Nice. I'm not sure I saw Trudy's hand, so Trudy can come up and preach this one. I tell you, there's a reason why Jen preached twice on Revelation, and we kind of timed a holiday during one of the weeks in Revelation. And so I'm preaching this week, and just a heads up, this week's reading in our journey through the New Testament is mostly Revelation, but then this time next week, next Sunday, we read the first letter of Paul to Timothy. And I'm just saying right now, I'm preaching on that next week, okay? So if you want a heads up of what I'm preaching on next week, it's going to be 1 Timothy chapter 1, hands down, okay? So what I'm doing this week is... Wow, welcome back the Sawyers. Is what I'm going to do this week is kind of almost do a summary or a GB guide to Revelation, which is why I've got Homer Simpson on the screen, because it's going to be fairly simple. You see, the thing about Revelation and preaching on it, this is where I had a struggle, is you can read so many commentaries. And this week I thought, right, Johnny, if you're going to do it, let's do it properly. So I started looking into a few different commentaries, a few online commentaries, N.T. Wright's commentary on Revelation. A few people here are having a go at that, and I had a glimpse at that. And it looks good. And you can learn and get an insight of what these great thinkers are looking at with Revelation. But you see, my issue is there's a common theme. You can look at different commentaries, and they'll differ in certain aspects. But one thing I seem to see a lot is the term perhaps. Perhaps it looks like this. Perhaps it looks like that. Perhaps it's linked to this scripture here. Perhaps it'll happen in this time. And it's perhaps, perhaps, perhaps. And I thought, I can't preach on perhaps. It's difficult to preach on perhaps. If you want to, and I encourage you, if you're reading Revelation and it's really giving your head a spin, but you want to know more, go for it. Look in different what different scholars and teachers are thinking. And I believe, in fact, there's some saved sermons online in the library that has been done in the past. So go for it. But there's a danger of focusing too much, which is not on God's word. I can't preach on a perhaps. You see, too often there's a danger with Revelation is we miss our focus. We look at these end signs, especially towards the end of Revelation, and we start to guess. Because it's imagery. This is an experience Paul had, and he's done an amazing job at sharing it. John had. Testing, yeah? It's an experience John had, and he's sharing it with the church. He's sharing it with us, but at the end of the day, it's still imagery. You know, we could sometimes get lost in focusing on the wrong aspect. So if we even take a look at, hopefully the screen's going to change, there we go, in the dragon. You know, this is an image an artist has came up with that you see on the screen. I'll be honest, this sermon, if you're listening online, may as well skip to next week because it's very visual, so unlucky. But for us here today, if you see this dragon here, this is what an artist thinks. But if you were to ask someone else, they would paint a different picture of what the dragon looks like. Or, you know, the beast, what the beast looks like, what the mark of the beast is. You know, when finance things come out, I remember someone saying to me a few years ago that those talks about how to exchange money or pay for items wouldn't be with card or even cash. They would scan your fingerprint. And I don't even know if that's even happening. But I remember people saying, oh, it's the mark of the beast, don't do it. If you're Christian, do not do it. Because people jump to these conclusions. People are trying to guess what it is. Who the Antichrist is. There are politicians and world leaders that come and go. And people, I remember having a trip in Colorado. And these people didn't like a certain president of the time. And they were like, I'm sure it's the Antichrist. They do this because people take their focus, I think, of what John is saying in Revelation and start looking, misfocusing in, and try and guess, try and predict. And I think that's where we fail. I believe the focus of Revelation is the cross of Christ. I believe the purpose of Revelation is, spoiler alert if you've not yet finished Revelation, is the victory that we have in Jesus. I mean, the band in picking worship songs nailed it with the song choices this morning. The victory, the being with Jesus, the having no fear, it is true. And for me, when I read Revelation, yes, there are parts that I'm like, whoa, I don't picture this. You know, what is this looking like? What will this look like? Well, I'll tell you afterwards. But right now, afterwards, as in once it's happened, you know. But right now, the focus has to be on Jesus. Because so often we can look at something and do you know what? We're miles off. There's a danger then people start writing and people start predicting dates of things and their focus goes from Jesus. And unfortunately, people follow that. I remember the year 2000 came. I won't tell you how old I was in the year 2000. I'm trying to work it out. I won't tell you that. I'm trying to think quickly. But anyway, but I remember the year 2000. Everyone's saying, that's it. The end of the world's going to happen. People were predicting it, all the rest of it. I remember reading the news. People were, you know, buying cars, going on the holidays. They were spending all their money because they were convinced that once the year 2000 came, that's it. Oops. But in reading the back end of Revelation, oh, before we do, actually, let's look at this. And Jesus says, when we misfocus on things, he says in Matthew 24, so you too must keep watch, for you don't know what day your Lord is coming. Understand this. If a homeowner knew exactly what a burglar was coming, he would keep watch and not permit his house to be broken into. You also must be ready all the time, for the Son of Man will come when least expected. Jesus talks about in Matthew 24, the end times. He talks about disasters. He talks about being persecuted. So you could look and say, wow, this is going on and it's getting crazy. But Jesus ultimately says, you will not know. It will be like a thief in the night. So to focus on these signs is taking our focus off the cross of Christ, of the victory that we have in him. But if we just take one of those images, the dragon, for example. As I was reading the back end, and I thought, okay, let's have a go with this. Many will accept the dragon is Satan. Satan, fallen angel, that abused, even angels have a limit of free will, abused his free will, was thrown. Now, we don't know how the throwing happened, or exact date of the throwing of Satan from heaven to earth, whether it was a choke slam down to earth or whether it was a fall off. I don't know how it happened, but he went from heaven to earth. Now, here's the crazy thing that blows my mind when I think of God's love for us, is if you picture God's time frame, which is eternity. He doesn't work on our time frame, which is temporary. He's in and out of our time. He is beyond it. He is in everlastingness. It's a made-up word, but I'm going with it. And so if you look at God's time frame of everlastingness, you have Alpha and Omega. Alpha, which is ever going, Omega, which is ever going. But this is how we try and put in our mind frame. See if just on a scale, we have Alpha at this end of the sanctuary and we have Omega at the other end of the sanctuary. Just for our small minds, or certainly for my small mind, this is how we're going to put God in a box for a second. Just picture this on his scale of life or everlastingness. Creation is just a tiny, I'm using a lanyard here, is just a tiny fraction of everlasting. And in fact, it's not going to be measured this way, it'll be measured this way, because even given an inch is being generous. You know, creation is so small on God's everlasting time frame that Satan fell from heaven to this temporary world. Now, I'm going to hold it this way. This yellow marker on my time frame of creation is us. Now, I've expanded us just so we can see us, but also that we can feel good about ourselves, that we can be seen. Okay? So there we are. You can wave. Now, we picture on creation and the end. Okay? So Satan thrown to this world, where pretty much would have been before the fall of man, so let's say at the beginning. He's thrown onto this temporary world. We have the fall of man, we have Abraham, we have David, we have then God sending his only son Jesus to this broken fallen world, and then we have here. What blows my mind as we hold it this way is that Satan thrown from the heaven to this temporary world, for God in the everlastingness, there's forever and ever, the fact that creation us on the earth is such a tiny speck that he would love you and me so much that he would care enough to send his son, who is very much part of him being everlasting, because the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, is Alpha and Omega. So he sent his own self from the everlastingness of God into the temporiness, which is us, to deal with Satan, who has now become temporary because of the cross, because of Jesus' death and then resurrection. That Satan, who came onto the earth, as Job says, is roaming this world. As Peter says, he is here like a roaring, prowling lion, causing destruction. You know, God could have been like, do you know what? It's only temporary. On a big scale of my everlastingness, you know, these earth people, they're pretty tiny. You know, so what, Satan? Just go down there. It's temporary anyway. I've got everything else. Just do whatever. But this is the great thing, is because of his great love for you and I, that he would send himself, his son, to live with us who are temporary, to love, to heal. Here's the great thing about Jesus. When he healed someone, his mindset was the big picture. When he healed the paralyzed man, his first thing he said was, your sins have been forgiven. Why? Because Jesus isn't thinking of the temporary. Because if all he did was heal that man, well, he's going to die anyway. His priority was the everlasting. His priority was, you need to know me. You need to know your creator. You need to know that I'm here to save you. Because for those who accept Christ, those who accept that God is the creator of the universe, those that accept that we mess up, that we are fallen, Those who accept that God so loved us, even in our temporary life, so much that he would send his Son to dwell, to be, to love us, that we will not just be temporary. That we, through faith and accepting him, will be hand in hand with him as our groom, as the Revelation explains it. As our groom, we will be with Christ forever and ever and ever. He has brought us from the temporary to the everlasting, to be with him forever and ever and ever. And that's pretty awesome. When I'm reading Revelation, yeah, there's a lot of stuff that makes my head spin. But when I look at the meat, when I look at what he has done for me and you, that is amazing. It just rocks my world that he would come down here. And so at the end of Revelation and throughout the scripture, it talks about that wedding day. That, you know, in this temporary earth that we're on, there is pain, there is suffering, there is hurt. But we stand in victory, knowing that there's that day of the anticipation of being with Christ, the groom, who loved his bride so much that he gave his life. What a great picture of a husband loving his wife, by the way, that we are given also. That the groom gave his life, and that we are united with him forever. I remember Jen and I's wedding day, and the build-up. I mean, you know it. You know, when you build up for your wedding day, and, you know, I'll be honest, I didn't do so much of the planning. You probably just guessed that from the 6 months you've known me, that I probably wouldn't have done so much of the planning of the wedding day. You know, but I turned up, and that's, you know, obviously an important role, and so I'm holding to that. But as I'm there, like, an hour or so early, and, you know, you're there with the grooms and stuff, you keep turning, even though you know it's not time, but you're just ready for this moment. Partly hoping she is going to turn up, but, you know, the rest of the time. That anticipation and that joy of when you do say, I do, and you know this is in our lifespan forevermore. What a great feeling that is. And we have that for eternity with our Savior. We're going to listen to a song. Right now, a song by a great group called the City Harmonic, and this is all about the wedding day. And so I'm going to play it on here, and hopefully this works. Here we go.
This is the story of a son of God hanging on a cross for me. But it ends with a bride and groom and a wedding by a glassy sea. Oh, death, where is your sting? 'Cause I'll be there singing.
hand in hand with the groom forever. Holy is the Lord. That as we read Revelation, the focus is the cross. The focus is the victory. The focus is the future. Yes, there will be trouble. Yes, there will be difficult times. Yes, there will be persecution. But we focus on the cross, nothing else. We don't get distracted. We focus on Christ. He has given us a role. He has given us a job. He has given us a task to follow him. To be holy, for I am holy, he says. To proclaim the good news. To love our neighbors. To forgive. To be peaceful. To be the church on this broken world. To experience God today through the power of the Holy Spirit. To give you strength when you are weak. Knowing that the end will be no more tears, no more pain. But he is with us today. And that's the victory that we celebrate in. But one more thought before I close. Or an example. If you, when you're reading Revelation, you kind of get so confused that almost you feel like you can't believe it. That you're reading Revelation and it almost makes you doubt even God himself. That it even makes you doubt the scriptures. It makes you doubt the existence of Christ. Because you read it and go, this just does not make sense. I'm going to give you my final, this is what JB does. This is my almost dummy's guide to Revelation of how I almost process Revelation. And it's as if you have to be creative. And it's as if you are floating or falling in the nothingness before creation. You have to put yourself there, which is impossible, but go for it. You are floating and falling in the nothingness that is before creation. And you bump into someone else and go, hey, Bob.
Hey, Brute.
Hey, Brute, okay. How's it going?
Okay, I'm doing fine, you know, stuff.
Stuff? How's the nothingness? You enjoying the nothingness?
Yeah. It's
Yeah? Have you heard the news?
What news?
It's going to happen.
What's happening?
Creation. Uh-huh.
What do you mean? Like, stuff? Like, more stuff?
Stuff is happening. You see the nothingness?
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, we're experiencing that? It's not going to be like that anymore. It's going to be creation. He's doing it. God is doing it.
You're losing me here. What are you talking about?
There's going to be an earth. There's going to be people. There's going to be moons. There's going to be stars. There's going to be a sun. You getting it? Picture it. Seriously, there's going to be a creation. There's going to be human life. There's going to be animals roaming around. You know, it's going to be amazing.
Wait. Slow down. You're talking gibberish here.
Come on, Bob.
Okay, so where's he going to put everything?
Here! And it's going to be held together by a thing called gravity, and we're not going to just float off. We're going to be stuck there. It's going to be amazing.
Okay. So, it's like a string called gravity? It's like tying us down, or...
I'll be honest with you. People are going to go to school and learn about gravity. I haven't done that yet, but I'm telling you, it's going to be amazing, and there's going to be human beings, and they're going to make more human beings. I'm not going to explain that right now either, but, you know, this is going to happen, and they're going to give glory and worship to God, the Creator.
Okay. So eternal God is going to create temporal world for what?
His glory. Because he loves these beings that he's going to create. He just loves them so much. He's going to fearfully and wonderfully just make them. He's going to knit them in their own mother's womb. It's just going to be beautiful.
I can't see it. I don't understand.
Trust me. Do you trust God?
I know God. I know God. I know God. I know his work. We've been here since the beginning. He's done a lot of stuff, but that sounds a little outlandish, to be honest. Are you sure you're hearing this right? Are you sure he wasn't like a metaphor or something?
Dude, seriously, it is going to be awesome. We're going to experience it, and it's going to happen in like a week's time. Now, granted, we don't have a time frame right now of what a week is, but seriously, a week is going to happen, and it's going to rock your world. It's going to be a world for you to rock in.
I don't understand. Like,
Bob, seriously.
Bert, you're not making sense.
Well, let's look.
Oh. Oh, okay.
You see it?
Look at it. Oh, so that's what you're talking about. That is better than I expected.
It is, right? It's far greater than you could ever have imagined. But look, we're experiencing it now. God created these even people.
It's just
here.
It's just too much. I don't know how to... Wow. Like, it just changed everything.
He did it.
Huh. Give you credit for that, huh?
Not me, but anyway. There we go. End scene. Thanks.
Yeah.
Thanks, Bob. But a goofy illustration of, we got to put trust in God. When you read it, it may look a little bit confusing. It may look a bit, whoa, I can't picture that. But look what he's done. You tell that to Abraham before he had Isaac. They said, no way, that is impossible. God made it possible. God couldn't make a king that would be just a child. He did it with David. He couldn't take down Goliath. He did it because of God made it happen. People said that, God wouldn't send himself. There's not going to be a Messiah coming. Still, people are looking for that Messiah, whereas we know there was a Messiah that came for you and I. We have that victory. Focus on Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your goodness. We thank you for your creation. We thank you that we experience in your handiwork, your awesomeness. And we thank you, Lord, that we, through faith in you, by just simply saying yes to you, yes, you are God, yes, you are Creator, yes, you are King, yes, that you sent your Son to die for us, even in our fallen bodies, in our minds, in our lives, that you loved us so much that you would send your Son to die and raise in life again, beating death. That we have life in you. That even in this temporary world, we experience your love and your peace. And Father God, help us just soak in more of you. We thank you that Satan's realm in this world is also temporary. That there is victory in Jesus. Help us live in that. Help us be a church that lives in that victory. We pray, Father God, for just more of you. Help us, Lord, to set our eyes on you, as it says in Colossians. To set our eyes on the things that are above and not things that are temporary, but to set our eyes on you. Heavenly Father, this week as we go about our days, help us set our eyes on you, Jesus. Give us the strength. Give us that peace, Lord God. Help us live the victory that is in the resurrection. Jesus. There are so many things that distract us and bog us down. Father, give us the strength to look beyond that to you. We praise you, Jesus. Give us wisdom to discern your ways. Bind us together, Father God, in your love. You are an awesome God, and we thank you for calling us your children. Thank you, Father. Thank you for being our groom. Thank you for saving us. Jesus, we praise you in your awesome name. Amen.